Hello. Thank you, Duncan. That was a lot better than last time, the introduction. Yeah, the guy from Longbenton with a Longbenton accent. Yes, that's me. So, hello, everyone. Yeah, it's the second time I'm speaking here. Once it was my testimony, then the other time. And then today, talking about Philippians 3, 1 to 11. And so, I just want to read the first four verses if you can. Read on your Bible. Finally, my brothers, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you is no trouble to me and is safe for you. Look out for those dogs. Look out for the evildoers. Look out for those who mutilate the flesh. For we are the circumcision who worship by the Spirit of God and glory in Christ Jesus. And put no confidence in the flesh. Though I myself have reason for confidence in the flesh also. If anyone else thinks he has reason for confidence in the flesh, I have more. So this is the, I don't know if it's the NIV version or, yeah, I think it's the NIV. So what is Paul talking about? Paul is telling the church about to look out for these dogs. For the mutilators of the flesh. Who are these people? He's talking about the Jews. Because the Jews believe that the only ones being saved, the only way to be saved is to be Jewish. And that's the Old Covenant. That's following the law and Moses's the law of Moses. And they were trying to convince the Gentiles that the only way to be saved was being part of the Old Covenant. Whereas Paul is telling the church, the Gentiles, to look out for these kinds of people who are questioning their identity. So their confidence of the Jews is in being Jewish. And this their symbol of being Jewish is the circumcision, as we well know. Then he goes on saying, for we are the circumcision who worship by the Spirit of God and glory in Christ Jesus. And put no confidence in the flesh. The flesh is the circumcision, is the symbol. They have no confidence in that. They are the circumcision. That's their identity, by the Spirit. Because we have been marked and sealed with the Spirit. And that's in the new covenant. That's the new identity. And it's not based anymore on the old covenant. So after that, he goes on telling them that he has every reason to base his identity on the Old Covenant, since he was one of those Jews. He was not only just a Jew, he was a Hebrew of the Hebrews. He was a passionate persecutor of the church. He was righteous, seen as righteous under the law. Although he had gained so much, once he met Jesus, he realized that it was worthless. He counted everything just as loss. As he states in Philippians 3:8, indeed I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish. So, rubbish is quite a polite way of saying it. The NIV version describes it as rubbish, whereas Paul was actually using stronger words. Literally, he considered them excrement, dung. Not only worthless, but also offensive. It just shows how insignificant he thought his past life was compared to knowing Christ. So, his identity was based in the Old Covenant, and he didn't know Jesus. He just put his confidence in his performance, in his being a blameless Jew. And his focus was on himself, in trying to keep the law. Then he met Christ, the one who decided to perform for him, the one who decided to walk the walk he was supposed to walk, and to share with him the prize, eternal life, to fulfill the law for him. That's what Jesus did. And the only thing Jesus wants back in return for this for sharing the prize is trust. He just wants us to trust Him. Trust that He will share this prize, that He will share eternal life with us. So our righteousness wouldn't depend on the law anymore, but would depend on faith, on the faith that Jesus will keep His word. But how can we trust someone we don't really know? So Jesus is asking us to trust Him. Trust Him that He will fulfill, that He's fulfilled the law and He will allow us to live for eternity. But how can we trust Him if we don't know Him? I mean, the Jews didn't know Him. Paul didn't know Him before he met Him. But in Philippians 3:8, it says, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus. Knowing Christ. Everything else is counted as loss only once you meet Him and you really get to know Him. Now he sees everything as rubbish once he got to know Christ as a person. We have the opportunity to talk to the Creator, to get to know the Creator, to spend time in His presence, time in His Word, time conversing with His Spirit. We have this amazing honor to really get to know Christ. And that's what changed our life. That's why we're here. Not because of theology and not just because of facts and information, but because of the real experience of getting to know Jesus. And that's exactly what Paul is saying as well. And that's what brings change and what brings life into perspective. That's when everything else counted as rubbish. Only when you compare it to someone so amazing like Jesus. And so many times we trust strangers with our destiny. Knowing Jesus, knowing Christ, and eternal life, it will bring us to eternal life. But sometimes we trust, as I said, strangers with our destiny, which is something which is worth so much. Eternal life is worth everything. That's what Paul is saying. So we listen to talks after talks online of famous preachers, famous pastors, and we are just spoon-fed, and we just believe everything they say, and we get all that information and create an idea of who God is and what the Bible says based on other people's understanding of that Bible. But that's so risky. It's such a big risk because we're basing our eternity on knowing God on someone else's opinion. I grew up in a Christian family. And since I was really little, I was used to going to Sunday school, going to church, and listening to the stories of the Bible. And it brought me up with having a very superficial knowledge of what the Bible said, who God was. And I believed in it. I believed in it with all my heart. Not just being a kid, but growing up into it. I always believed in God. But I didn't really know Him. I knew He loved me, He cared for me. I was loved, He was my joy, He was my strength, my refuge. I knew all of these things. But knowing these information, I mean, I thank God for having grown up in a family and with all of these truths. But these truths didn't change my life. When I encountered Jesus and His person, when I really got to know Jesus for the person He is, then I felt His love. I didn't just know I was loved. I felt His love. I felt His joy. I was full of happiness. And that's what changed everything. I sought Him as my refuge. It's when I received His strength. Only then, when I got to know Him completely, then I started to trust Him. Because I knew who He was. I knew He wouldn't abandon me like my friends did. I knew He would never forsake me. Because I knew who He was. And who, yeah. So in Philippians 3:9, so we need to trust Jesus with our eternal life. Philippians 3:9 says, in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith. Depends on faith. The righteousness of the new covenant, this is what Paul is saying, doesn't depend on the law anymore. As Christians, we don't have the righteousness of our own. We aren't seen as right with God by just following the Ten Commandments. No, it's because of Jesus, because of his sacrifice. We're well aware of that. And our righteousness just depends on faith, on trust in Jesus. So, if we trust Jesus, and he is fulfilling the law for us, then what are we supposed to do as Christians? What's left for us to do? So Philippians 3:10, I love this verse. Really, the Holy Spirit really showed me in a different light when I was preparing for this, and it really encouraged me a lot. So it says, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, and may share his suffering, becoming like him in his death. That by any means possible, I may attain the resurrection from the dead. So he's saying that I may know him and share his suffering, becoming like him in his death. Obviously, we don't like the becoming like him in his death. That we would rather not read that, but that's biblical. And the suffering as well. And so Jesus came to us and he said, you can't live this life alone. Let me share it with you. Let's walk together. I'll share this life with you. Let's just go for this journey. I'll be beside you. I will fulfill the law. I will take away your sin. I will help you attain eternal life. But you will walk with me. We will share this journey. You know me and the power that I walked in. But you will also be rejected as I was rejected on this earth. And you will also share the suffering that I suffered on this earth. We are sharing this journey with him. He is fulfilling the law. He's beside us. He's always with us. But we're sharing it. We are walking with him. And we become like him in his death. What does that mean? Becoming like him in his death. This means, I think we know it pretty well, it means surrendering our desires, surrendering our will. Every time we think we know best and God tells us otherwise, and we know we should listen to him, but we sometimes decide ourselves to follow our own will, then we hit a post with a head, we bang our head, and we realize, oh, sorry, God, you were right. It happens so many times, it happens to me all the time. And it's not something easy to do, to trust him completely with our life. And often when life starts getting hard, we start complaining. We start trying to teach God how to be God. We think we know better. And who's noticed that when things really get difficult, the only people that stay around you are the real true friends? I mean, for me growing up, I've been abandoned by my friends so many times. But each one of us have experienced something similar. The real friends are the only ones who are next to you in difficult situations. And what happens for when they stay there and it gets really tough, your friendship becomes deeper. You bond a lot more. Your friendship becomes stronger. You start depending on each other. If that person isn't there, you need them to be there. And the same is with God. God's main plan for us, his main plan, it's for us to get to know him more. And if those difficult situations are the one that draw us closer to him, then it's definitely worth it. He hates to see us struggle and suffer. That's not his plan. He doesn't want that. Just the same way he hated to see Jesus suffer on the cross. But if it brings us closer to Him, it's definitely worth the price. So day after day, we learn to rely more on Him, to trust Him, even when life gets really hard. And we know that when we decide to let our old nature die, we become more like Him. I'm currently living the most difficult years of my life. After my dad passed away 3 years ago, my family and I went through a very difficult season. It hasn't been easy. At times it feels like our life has been robbed of the person I looked up the most. I mean, my father. My example of how a man should be, my comforter, my refuge. But I can now see how even in such time of suffering and struggle, God has been faithful. You see, He supported my family emotionally, financially. He's brought back joy, happiness, peace, love into my family, something that only God can do. And I've seen my family just be united, stronger than I've ever seen before. And even my relationship with God has never been stronger. I've never been so confident of the person I am in God. And the same I can say for the rest of my family. We've been drawn close to God. And obviously God didn't want this to happen. He didn't want my father to pass away. But He's always remained next to us during the struggle, proving His faithfulness and His love and kindness for us. And while we trust and rely on Him, we have become more like Him. And that's just amazing to see. It's wonderful to look back and see how God has been moving and having everything under control. And it's just so encouraging to see that. I've prepared a little thing. Duncan, could you please... I think they're in the... Yeah. Thank you. So this is a little summary of what I've been talking about. So what does it mean to live as a Christian? What's our identity? And what are we going to do now? Since Jesus has been fulfilling the law for us, I hope there's enough. There isn't. So first of all, what do we need to do? We need to put... I changed it, but this is the older version. If there are some typos, I apologize. Or even the wording of things. I'm Italian, I have to say. So knowing Christ more as our top priority. So getting to know Christ more needs to be our top priority. Since Paul says it's the only thing which is worth something, of everything else is rubbish, it will put life into perspective. So this means we need to spend more time with Him. That's something I've noticed in my life. It's changed my life completely. By just spending time and just chatting to God, just worship and just spending time in His presence, even just 15, 20 minutes a day. But putting God first in the morning will change perspective on the rest of the day completely. It's something I really advise. It changes your life. Second thing, spending more time with His Word, something I've been learning, and we all need more. And with His Spirit. And so many times we forget about the Holy Spirit. I mean, He's a person. There's a Trinity, it's not just two people. There's the Holy Spirit as well, and He's living in us and with us every day. That sharing the journey, He's always with us. Just chat to Him, He's a great friend. And He's an amazing guy. Second point, knowing that we will be sharing our entire life with Him, also the suffering. This allows us to trust Him more and depend on Him. Just knowing that even suffering is biblical in our life, and if we are suffering and it's really difficult, it's not God abandoning us. That's part of life. That's part of the Christian life. Suffering is there, but God is with us. So that's a good point. And to be peaceful, knowing that He has everything under control. Oh, when you know that God is sovereign and He's got everything under control, it just lifts a big weight off your shoulders. That's something else as a Christian we always need to remember. And the third and last point, which looks a bit long, knowing that allowing him to change us will make us more like him. Surrendering our life to him. Change those aspects of your life which are not aligned with his word or with our identity. That's very, very important. So many times we don't change or we don't see change in our life because we're not allowing God to change us. Whereas if we just allow him, although it's a sacrifice and it can be difficult, but when we say, okay, God, this is not working, I'm doing this, these habits, as we can say, okay, let's go to the next. This will allow the Holy Spirit to bring change in our lives, get rid of the bad habits that the old lifestyle created. So we were used to always doing something before we knew Jesus, and then there's a change, and so change accordingly. Help us bear the fruit of the Spirit, patience, love, kindness. And the last one, help us walk in power and do the things Jesus did. So just becoming more like Jesus in every aspect. And this is what I've prepared for today. So if we could just take a time of prayer, just a moment, and just think about all these aspects, about the prioritizing, knowing God. And God, there's so much to learn about God every single day. And just creating a healthy habit of spending more time with Him, with His Word and with His Spirit. Just a bit of every day. Or just sometimes just remembering that He is worth everything to us. And that everything else is rubbish compared to Him. Father God, thank you for this evening, thank you for your word. Help us put you with a higher priority. Help us see your real importance. Help us know you more. Draw our hearts closer to you every day so that we can be more aware of your presence, of your love, of your care for us, that we can be more thankful for all the things you have been doing in our lives. Thank you, because you have changed us, you have saved us, you have given us hope, fullness, and joy. Help us even in times of suffering, when we think you may have abandoned us. Help us to remember that you are sovereign, that you have everything under control. Help us to just draw closer to you instead of giving you the fault. Holy Father, thank you because you love us, care for us, and because we can trust you more every day and be peaceful knowing that you have everything under control. Bring change in our lives, in those situations that we're not allowing you to completely change us. Help us bear fruit, your fruit, and walk in power, living just like the life Jesus did. Amen.